Well, good morning. Certainly good to have you here at Lakeview Baptist Church this morning. You know, I was just sitting there thinking, we have so much to be thankful for, don't we? We really do, don't we? You know, you think you've seen and heard everything. This past week, I read a survey. And the survey indicated that as far as millennials are concerned, the younger generation, only 40% of those believe that evangelism is even important. And I'm thinking, my goodness, some of these people are in churches and in pulpits in churches today. There's a lot to be said for tradition, isn't there? There's a lot to be said for God's word and how it stands the test of time. I know, again, this week, you know, you think you've heard everything. And here was a woman who came out this week from Washington. And she was talking about doing away with air travel. And how she was going to do away with air travel and how she was going to build trains across the ocean. Well, how's that going for you, I'd like to know. But the Word of God stands the test of time. And no matter how out of control the world may seem to be, God is in control. God is in control. And here, we're gathered here today to talk about two offices within the church that were ordained by God, implemented by the church, the New Testament church, and still today, it's of the utmost importance, these two offices. I ask your deacons to sit down front this morning. Guys, ladies, I appreciate you doing that. I know this is really about 15, 20 rows from where you normally sit on a Sunday morning. But trust me, you look good down here. You really do. I've already had some people say, what's wrong? Nothing's wrong. I'm doing the ordination service for Chad Simpson this morning. And I remember, Chad, I remember the way it was when I was ordained as a deacon years ago. And it was just me and my wife and another guy who's being ordained and his wife. And we sat down front and everybody else was behind us. And then I remember how it was, and I think in 1990 when I was ordained as minister, then it was just me and my wife down front and everybody else was behind us. So Chad, you've got some good support this morning. You've got these guys and Jennifer, you've got these ladies surrounding you this morning. Here in unity. And as I said last week, you guys are all in. And I'm glad you're here this morning. The office of deacon is a high and holy office. It's one of only two chosen offices in the New Testament church that's mentioned in the Bible. I won't ask you to turn to this, but Philippians 1:1 says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and the deacons. The bishops, or the pastors, and the deacons are those two chosen offices within the church. The bishops, or the pastors, and the deacons. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3, in verses 1 through 13, Paul reveals the qualifications of bishops or pastors and deacons because they were the special servants of the church. And I want to read this passage for you this morning as a matter of record. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. And then continuing on verses 8 through 13, Paul moves from the qualifications of a bishop to that of qualifications for a deacon. Verse 8, likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let these also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing with great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Back in verse 8 there, the word reverent, that means dignified. It means worth, respectable. The phrase double-tongued, means the individual must not be giving conflicting reports, telling one person one thing, telling another person a different thing. He must be consistent. Not given to much wine means that this individual is to be an example of sobriety, which means sober, because drunkenness is a sin. He's to be an example. Not greedy for money. This is important because there may be times when, as serving as a deacon, you have to minister to families financially. And if you yourself have a love for money, it could cause you to have an effect in the way you minister to that family because your love for money and their lack of money. It could have to have an effect in how you minister. So you should not have a greed for money. Holding with the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. That means that the individual serving as a deacon must be sound in their doctrine. And not only sound in their doctrine, but also faithful to live out their Christian beliefs. And then finally, the scripture says, let these men first be tested, which means this individual should be observed over a period of time as they prove themselves to be trustworthy and faithful in all of these areas before they're asked to even serve as a deacon. And it's my assumption this morning as we gather here today that as a church family, you've already looked at these qualifications and you've kept these things in mind as you've gone through the selection process and the recommendations that brings us here today to the ordination service of Chad Simpson. The emphasis from this passage from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 13, is on what both the pastors and the deacons are to be instead of what they're to do. Because it's always the being that comes first instead of the doing. Both pastors and deacons are always to be men of God, to be people of character, to be right with God, to be leaders in their own families, to be in a right relationship with others. But what they're to do may vary from time to time, depending upon the church in which they serve and the season that church is going through. But what they are will dictate what they're doing, because God has implanted within them a desire to be what God desires them to be. A better way to understand what a deacon is to do and why they're needed is to look at Acts chapter 6. This is the origin of the office of the deacon. Following Pentecost, the New Testament church experienced a time of dynamic growth. And with this dynamic growth, this explosive type growth, came problems. People began slipping through the cracks. One of the major problems was the benevolent ministry of the widows in the church. As a result of this, there became some very unhappy and complaining people within the congregation. And I can look down here at you deacons and just kind of look and survey your faces. I know that you don't have any unhappy, complaining people here at Lakeview, right? I understand that, what that smile means. I understand that. And trust me, they're sitting behind you this morning, so they can't see you. But you have that in every church. So the apostles called the congregation together and suggested that they choose from among their membership 7 men of good report, good reputation, men who had a deep faith in God, who had the ability to administer, and other spiritual gifts that God could use within the ranks of the deacons. These, they suggested, should be appointed over the task of discerning the needs or administration, of acquiring or gathering up the supplies needed to meet those needs or support, of distributing those supplies or of ministering, and following up to make sure everyone was taken care of or caring for. In fact, we get the word deacon from a Greek word that literally means to be a servant, to attend to wait upon, to minister to render to, and to take care of. So we can see the best identity of a deacon is one selected within a church to administrate, to gather, to distribute, to care, to support, to minister, and to serve the people within the congregation. We see the first word, deacon, used in this way in the book of Acts. Listen as I read to you Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Now in those days, when the number of the deacons was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole congregation or the whole multitude. There's bound to be a sermon right there. The saying pleased the whole multitude. There's bound to be a sermon there, I'm sure. But then, as we go through the rest of verse 5 and following, it goes on to name those 7 deacons. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had laid hands, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Now, the laying on of hands mentioned there in verse 6, it was a formal display of these 7 men and their selection and their appointment as deacons. It was an ancient practice that symbolized the impartation of the gift of grace. And men, you already know this, but it takes grace and it takes mercy to be a good deacon. It takes compassion to be a good deacon. And it takes a lot of prayer to be a good deacon. What was the result of these first deacons being selected? The people were served. The people's needs were met. Conflict was settled. The bishops or pastors were freed to focus on their primary ministry, which was the leading the people spiritually and guiding them spiritually. And it says, and the number of believers greatly multiplied. The men who were the elders and the pastors of the church, if you will, they were giving themselves and feeding the flock by preaching and by teaching the word. And they realized it was not right for them to spend time doing these other things when there were people that were well capable and could serve God by doing that. So it was a team effort instituted and ordained by God right here in the New Testament church. A team effort that even is in play and is very effective even today. God willed and ordained that good organization and effective ministry and teaching have its place within the local church, and ministry have its rightful place as well. The things that happened back then in the early church should be happening in the local church today, because deacons are still of importance. They're valued to the church and to pastors as well. This New Testament concept made better use of the overall resources because their human resources were being put to better use. They were being utilized, being put to more practical and effective use. Everyone's gift was being used to the utmost, not to mention the fact that more and more people were involved in ministry. And the more people you can get involved in ministry, the better off you are. Today, these roles are essentially the same. The elders or the pastors are to pray and to spend time praying and studying and meditating and preparing to deliver and teach the Word of God. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. A pastor of a church can only be truly ready to share God's word in such a way with conviction and with compassion that brings about repentance and change if they're able to prepare and be in God's word, and if the pastor is permitted to do that by the church. Now, the deacons, they have a point. They have a place, and they're appointed for the purpose of ministry along with the other various needs that the church may have. As I said a while ago, it depends upon the church and the season that the church is going through. Now, all of the duties of a deacon and a pastor, they're not listed in the Bible. It would be endless to name the different duties that a deacon has or a pastor has. I mean, you just can't go and hand out a job description and say, this is what we want you to do. Because somewhere along the way, something's going to be missed. Something's going to come up, and that's going to be someone's responsibility, and it's going to have to be done. So you don't get an exclusive listing, but as far as the deacons are concerned, ministry, care and ministry is the focus. Did you notice the Apostle Paul put in four things here in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11, that calls the deacon's wife into accountability? The deacon's wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. The man's leadership in the home can be evaluated to some degree by the conduct of the wife. That word reverent means that she is she worshipful in her relationship to God? Is she respectful towards others? Is she adorning? Is she admiring and devoted towards her husband? That phrase, not slanderous, means does she speak false or untrue things? Does she speak derogatory comments about people or about situations? Is she vicious in what she says or in how she speaks? The word temperate means, is she restrained in her actions and in her words? In other words, is she controlled and well-disciplined in her actions and in her speech? And then finally it says, the wife, she's to be faithful in all things. That means, is she loyal in her relationships? Is she devoted? Is she steadfast? Is she dedicated? Is she committed? Just in some areas of accountability, God has included the wife in that. According to God's word, as written by Paul here in this passage found in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. The office of and the calling of deacon is an honor and a blessing. There's going to be some days you're going to wake up and that phone's going to ring and you're going to say, oh no, what have I got myself into? But trust me, it's an honor. It's a blessing. It's a privilege to be able to serve God in the way that God has ordained you to be able to serve. And I want to challenge each of the deacons here this morning. As you begin serving or as you continue to serve, number one, to be an example. When the first deacons were selected, the apostles told the deacons or the disciples to look out among you seven men of good report, full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom. So men, you're to be examples to the congregation. Examples in faithfulness in terms of attendance, faithfulness as far as stewardship is concerned, in prayer and Bible study, in witnessing, as well as in other examples of service. So be an example, number one. Number two, be an encourager. Be an encourager to your families that you are entitled or designated to minister to. Be an encourager to those families. Be an encourager to the staff here, to the teachers, to the workers. Be an encourager to the church family here at Lakeview Baptist Church. Be an encourager. Number three, be an engaged person. Engaged means be involved. I mentioned that somewhat while ago when I was talking about being faithful. But do you remember what was happening back in the first New Testament church? It was growing. And this church here, Lakeview, you're going to be growing. You're going to be growing. And as I mentioned last week, you're going to be growing because I believe you have the mindset to intentionally seek people for Jesus. You say, well, what are we doing? Your bulletin is really full of things that you're doing. You've got the gospel group coming in here in a couple weeks. Listen, there's lost people who love gospel music. There's lost people who just like music in general. And by being a venue where you can bring in gospel groups who will present the Word of God in song, you are setting yourself up as a witness for Christ. And you need to be involved in this growth. In fact, your whole family needs to be involved in ministry and in activities here in this church. And not only involved there, but number four, you need to be an enthusiastic person. Enthusiasm is contagious. It really is. And you need to be one of those carriers of enthusiasm. You need to be this church's greatest cheerleaders. You really do. And then number five, my prayer is for each one of you to be an enduring person. You see, once you're ordained as a deacon, you're always a deacon. Whether you're serving actively or not, you're still an ordained deacon, as we'll see later on today here. You're not ordained to serve just X number of months or X number of years. Ordination as a deacon is a lifetime appointment, or until you do something that disqualifies you as a deacon. And God forbid that you would allow that to ever happen. You see, Romans 11:29 says, for the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. When God calls you, he doesn't uncall you. God's called each one of you seven here today as a deacon. He will never uncall you as a deacon. As I said, you may do something that unqualifies you or disqualifies you as a deacon, but God will not uncall you. So men, the work is great. It is a great work. The work is challenging. It really is challenging. Because you're dealing with precious individuals. And many times you're dealing with crisis situations. And quite honestly, sometimes the congregation, the members, they don't know which way to turn. Obviously, they know they need to turn to Christ, but they've got you as a consultant, as a counselor, as an advisor, spiritual advisor. It's critical what you suggest to them or what you encourage them to do, the counsel you give them. The work is great. The standard is high. You've been selected based on these qualifications within God's Word. And the need is ever, ever present for deacons to team with the pastor to serve a congregation. You know, there's several different types of teams mentioned in the Bible. Of course, there's the team of a husband and wife, which was God ordained. But this teamwork between the pastors and the deacons is also a teamwork that God ordained. And it's so important. It works. If it didn't, God would not have included it in His Word. But it works. And it works to the glory of God to minister to people. Always remember, even though the work is great, the standard is high, and the need is ever present, the rewards are amazing. Because the awards, the rewards, and the blessings come directly from Almighty God. He didn't make a mistake when He called you as a deacon. He didn't make a mistake. Chad, congratulations. I want to ask if you will, Chad, if you'll come forward this morning. And Jennifer, if you will come with him. If you want to bring your son, that's fine. I'm going to ask Chad if he will come and kneel here beside, kneel here at the altar. And Jennifer, if you'll come and stand beside your husband. And men of the congregation, hear my instructions. I'm going to ask the deacons, the remaining deacons, if they will come and lay hands on Chad and share a word of encouragement with him, a prayer if you so desire. Do so in a timely fashion. And then if there are any other men here in the congregation who are also ordained deacons or pastors, if you would like to come and share in this particular time with Chad Simpson and his family, I'm going to ask you to do so at this time. Would you come? Father, I want to thank you for Chad and for Jennifer Simpson and their family. Lord, they begin today on a new trip in their life, a new part of their life. And Lord, I want to thank you for setting them aside for this particular trip. Father, as Chad assumes the responsibility of a portion of the families here in this church, I pray, God, for wisdom for him. Wisdom as he ministers to these families. Lord, you know even right now what's ahead of him as he goes through this coming year. You know the situations and circumstances that he'll encounter. It may be all good for him. Or, Lord, there could be a time or two where he'll encounter some difficult situations. But, God, I know as he seeks you and looks to you and prays and stays in your word, and Lord, I know that you'll give him the wisdom that he needs to be able to guide and to counsel and to encourage these families that he's to minister to. Lord, for Jennifer, there will be many times when she won't have a clue what's going on. But Lord, I pray that you'll just give her the patience in knowing that her husband is doing what you have called him to do. And that's good enough. That's all she needs to know. So, Father, I pray that you'd bless this house. This family has said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Thank you for Chad's leadership as a godly husband and godly father. I pray for him. In Jesus' holy name, with thanksgiving, amen. Scott, if you will come up, I want to ask you to do something in just a moment. I'm going to walk down here and do this. Well, Chad, we're into that last 15 minutes we talked about at lunch last Sunday. I told Chad last Sunday, I said, now, the last 15 minutes, I want you to be in charge. I want you to preach and sing and take up offering, do whatever you want to do. You know, this is your service. But it was a joy being able to be with them last week. You've got a little daughter. I guess she's in the nursery. Okay. And this young man, he was interesting to observe last week. He was intrigued by a lot of different things going on. That's great. You got a great family. This is a deacon ordination certificate, and it says, having been chosen one of good report, full of the spirit and of wisdom, and capable of using the office well, you've now been set apart publicly to the office and work of deacon. So, Chad, congratulations. Thank God bless you. Jennifer, God bless you.
Thank you.
Scott, I want you to, as the chairman of the deacons, to close and whatever you need to do as far as the meal is concerned, in a prayer of commitment for the deacons and for this church.
Let's pray together. And as we pray, we'll also ask blessing on the food for the church-wide meal. And again, if you did not prepare food, we want you to come. I know Angie made a pot of dumplings that will feed, 15 or 20 people. So we've got plenty of food. Please come. Let's pray together. Father God, we just thank you today, Lord, for Chad and Jennifer and their family. And Father, we just ask that you would encourage them. Father, we ask that you would empower them, that you would be willing to give them the ability to serve in this church and serve well. And Father, we just ask that you would also encourage our other deacons and their families as well as they continue to serve our congregation. And Lord, we know that this is an office that was given by the creator of the universe, and it should be looked upon with dignity and grace and commitment. And Father, we just ask at this time that the deacons would commit their lives to being servants in all areas of this church, in all areas of ministry, all to the glory of you. Father, we just ask these things now in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.